Time to head over to New Zealand and have a chat to the best in the business, Mick Geeran. Mick, good morning to you. How are you?
Mate, I'm well. Obviously things are a lot more settled here than they are in Victoria, and we're thinking about all our Victorian buddies and hoping things calm down there pretty quickly. But, obviously not as important, the racing stuff, but it's what we're here to talk about. And it's a big weekend for racing, for harness racing, because the middle of winter, you don't tend to see the best horses out and about very often, but we have Lochinvar Art, who's become a very spoken about horse because of the potential for the match race with Ride High. We see him return this week. We have a good meeting in Queensland, and Self Assured, who's the Auckland Cup winner, and he's the horse who ran second to Lochinvar Art in the Chariots of Fire, actually returns at Addington tomorrow night. Now, that's incredibly rare. New Zealand doesn't tend to have open class pacing races in the middle of winter. But of course, all the horses missed 3 months over here because racing stopped completely. So we have just randomly out of nowhere in a $12,000 race tomorrow night. Princess Tiffany, Classy Brigade, who ran third in the New Zealand Cup, and all these horses turning up, Michael, who now are starting their New Zealand Cup campaigns at their, Grand Circuit campaigns probably a month and a half early. So just randomly out of nowhere, that race has turned up tomorrow night, the same weekend as Lochinvar Art. So these conversations, which are based around Ride High potentially being the best of these horses, but Lochinvar Art the more proven of these horses, and Self Assured, who probably 6 months ago was rated better than both, those conversations are going to ramp up now because people are going to have all this data coming at them from all these different tracks about who's running what times and what it all means.
Gee, that is some mouthwatering horses returning. And speaking of Lochinvar Art and the potential of this Ride High match race, we'd love it to unfold for the coverage and, I suppose, the interest it would create, not just in the harness racing bubble, but beyond that as well. Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think that we'll be able to get this over the line and see these two great paces go head-to-head?
I think there's no reason it won't happen. I mean, look, the horses, both of them, are tough enough to go out there and what's basically a glorified trial. It's not like they're going to get broken in half and have to break times that no one's ever run before. I think it should happen. I think the key factor to a match race, without getting too much into the hyperbole, is it's a good time of year to have one because there's not much else going on apart from Tally Ho Twinkle Toe going around and some of these big jumps races over the next month. Good horses are coming back, but there's nothing earth-shattering happening in the gallops for another two or three weeks. The key factor is how they engage people with it, because it's all right for you and I and Adam Hamilton and the blokes from Harness Racing Victoria to think it's interesting, but you've still got footy being played in Melbourne and you've still got things you need to do. So using technology is crucial. Now, this is a perfect opportunity because it's not a full field and there's no danger to anybody to put helmet cams on both the drivers, maybe even see if you can fix them to the back of the horse, and to have the ability to talk to both the drivers during the run because they're only racing each other. So I think it's a really good opportunity to trial that and bring people into that situation. The one warning with helmet cam is this, and it's done very well in Queensland, but the problem with helmet cam is this, Michael, you almost need the drivers not to carry whips because the last thing you want is the RSPCA having footage, and the harness racing drivers don't hit horses hard these days, so I'm not saying that's a factor because it's not, but when you're watching a helmet cam, even the slightest tap with a whip could be misconstrued by people or end up on four corners or whatever about someone being hitting horses or being cruel to them. So I love that tech. I think it's wonderful tech, and I think it's a real chance for harness racing to bring people on board. But there is the problem that the whip is directly in front of it. Whereas in a jockey situation, the helmet cam, the whip is behind the jockey, so you can't see it. Now, that's only perception, and I know it's only perception, but when you watch a lot of helmet cameras, I have, to me it's not jarring because I know the horses are being hurt, but to other people it could be framed that way. So doing the tech, but more importantly doing it right, is a crucial component to this build-up.
Yep, no doubt about that. If the two meet head-to-head, which camp are you in?
Whoever draws to dictate the race. The horse drawn one dictates to the other horse, and they can choose to sit on it which means they think they've got more speed, or they can choose to lead. If the horse drawn one leads and the other horse falls in behind it, which is what normally happens, well, then they can go as slow or as fast as they want, because you can go as slow as you want and the other horse can't pull out and attack you, because no horse can, neither of these horses are good enough to sit outside the other horse and crush it. So the horse drawn to lead and dictate the race clearly has a better chance of winning, because it may not matter how good the other horse is, they can probably both run home in about 53 and a half seconds, something like that. And if you decide to do that, but more importantly, run that last 400 metres in 26 seconds, it's really hard to run 25.5, getting slightly unbalanced, even if you're using centrifugal force to come off the other horse's back and get around them. So the horse drawn one is the one I would back. That's with the caveat, of course, that Lochinvar Art returns as good as he can, because we know Ride High is flying. We don't know that of Lochinvar Art, but we will see some evidence of that this weekend.
All right, let's talk about the racing over in New Zealand. I saw an article you put out on social media this morning which may cause some angst amongst the jockeys, because the weight limits are returning to the pre-COVID weights.
Yeah, so they bumped all the weights up by 2 kilos at the start of COVID so the jockeys could carry a bit more weight to be healthier. And then starting next Saturday, they go back down. They still have a slightly different weight scale for the open races, because there's such open nominations. They take what's called open entries. But eventually, in 2 months' time, everything goes back to normal. But for the maiden races at rating 65s, which are our equivalent of the benchmark 58s over Norway, they go back next Saturday. And that means some of these jockeys who have been walking 60, because they've been riding at 61, 62, has to start getting down to walking 57 to be competitive. Bloody hard thing to do in winter, Michael. Really hard thing to do in winter. And a lot of our jockeys are lukewarm on riding in winter anyway. The Opie Bosses and the Jason Waddells and Lee Dennis's, a lot of them don't tend to ride in winter. So all of a sudden, there's nothing else to do. They can't go to Australia. So they want to ride. But, yeah, it's going to be tricky. And it raises the question, should jockeys' weights go up? Some jockeys think yes, lightweight jockeys think no, and trainers always say no, because trainers don't want their horses carrying more weight. But it's a very complex question, because if you were to list the top 10 male riders of New Zealand, not the females, because very few of the females struggle with weight. If you listed the top 10 male riders in New Zealand, probably 5 of them struggle to get down below 58. And if you start having a lot of horses who are weighted below that, people like Opie Bosson just don't get the chance to ride as often, particularly in winter, as maybe it would be good for the industry for them to ride. I'm not saying I think weight should go up or down. I think it's a complex problem as people all over the earth get bigger and bigger, to keep jockeys expecting, for example, an Opie Bosson to be riding at 55.5 kilos year-round. Well, that would drive him insane. So it's not just Opie, it's people like Ryan Elliott has been, you know, sometimes occasionally struggling with his weight. Jason Waddell's had issues with it. Troy Harris has had issues with it. And they're probably, you know, some of the best male riders we have. Again, it tends to be a more male-centric problem than a female problem, in New Zealand at least.
What do you think is going to be the situation with the jockeys like Opie Bosson? And we've spoken in the past about coming out to Australia and specifically Melbourne for the Spring Carnival with the current pandemic situation here.
I don't think anybody can afford to go. It's just too tricky, because the key factor is jockeys are the last people on earth you want sitting in a hotel room doing nothing for 2 weeks. And when you sit in a hotel room doing nothing for 2 weeks, all you want to do is have a few beers and eat, because there's nothing else to do. But if there's no gym, so not only do you lose riding fitness, but you lose your diet, and all of that stuff goes out the window. And even then, you get over there and there's no guarantee you're going to get 6 rides a week or 6 rides a Saturday. So for someone like Opie Bosson, who if he stays in New Zealand is guaranteed to ride million-dollar horses, at least the stakes, or he can go to Melbourne and get suspended for 1 week, for example, he's losing 5 weeks of his life. Because eventually he has to come back to New Zealand. He has to come back here for our classics. And that's another 2 weeks you lose. So anybody who's deciding to go to Australia for the carnivals is basically saying they're willing to give up a month of riding. And all the tricky situations that come with it. See, Aaron Kuru wanted to ride Tallyho Twinkle Toe, and the connections were quite keen to get him across there to ride the horse, even though they've got a very good jockey over there in Stephen Pateman. So he wanted to get across, but for a jumps jockey, which probably has a 4 or 5 month window a year to ride, you're taking 2 weeks out. Taking a month out of that, because you need 2 weeks quarantine in Australia, 2 weeks quarantine coming back, and even then, you've still got to get Racing Victoria to approve you to be a rider because you're coming from another country and all the possibilities that come with that. So I don't think we're going to see any of these jockeys heading across the Tasman because it's just logistically too difficult unless you thought you were on a horse who could potentially win a Cox Plate or a Melbourne Cup. And even then you've got to say to the trainer, Michael, am I comfortable when I could have a Craig Williams or an Ollie or Damien Lane, obviously, am I comfortable having a jockey who hasn't sat on a horse for 2 weeks riding on a Cox Plate? So there's a whole lot of repercussions around this. I just don't see, I think it's going to be too complicated. I don't see any of our jockeys heading across there until the 2 week quarantine thing disappears. And as you know, Michael, that is becoming less likely by the day.
Yeah, that won't be happening anytime soon, unfortunately. Mick, we're out of time. Can you leave us with a winner?
Yeah, I like one coming up very shortly. It's in about an hour and a half time at Invercargill, New Zealand. Race three, number two, called Tact Fergie. I think it's the best maiden in Southland. It's $1.95. I know that's not much, but it gives you a chance to play with their money for the rest of the day. So race three, Southland Harness today. I can't tip you any gallopers at the moment because it's all heavy 11 tracks over here. $1.95 is fair money. This is a pretty fair mate.
Good on you, mate. We'll chat next week.
Look forward to it.
Mick Guerin bringing us up to date with all the news in the world of harness and New Zealand. Time for the 10 o'clock news, and then after that, we'll preview today's meeting.